This is Word Fountain Christian Ministries. You are listening to a message from a guest pastor. Be blessed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Please join me to welcome the servant of God, Pastor Richard Jama of New Life Bible Church in London. Amen. He's been with us since the weekend. We have been tapping and drawing, and it still looks fresh because the oil on the head of Aaron does not run dry. How much more the oil that Jesus pours into the life of his servant. We want to say thank you. What do we say, church? Thank you. Hallelujah. God bless you, sir.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Can we take our seats, please? Thank you so much. I sincerely want to thank Mommy in the House, Senior Pastor, Pastor Dupe. Thank you so much for this great privilege. I have been blessed probably more than you people, actually. Yeah, certainly I said I'm someone who observes things quite a bit, so, you know, observing the love, and I like to see brethren smiling, joking, and, you know, making fun with each other. I just love it, you know, so at the retreat and seeing people laughing with each other and joking with each other, and really, it was so refreshing. You know, I just want to thank God so much for you all. This is a wonderful church. I believe that the love of God is in this place. Amen. And the hand of the Lord is upon this place. Amen. That is why this place can only move forward. It can only do better. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you once again, Pastor Dupe, for this great privilege. I don't take it for granted. I believe it's a door that God opened for me. And I just hope and trust that in one way or another, God would have spoken a word into your life through the various sharings. And so I really want to thank you so much. I want to share a message that I believe will help all of us. And I thank God for the testimonies we've heard this morning. Wonderful testimonies. This brother here, God has a plan for your life. Amen. You know, God has a plan for your life. And you need to know that. And you need to take hold of the purpose of God for your life and have a sense of purpose. You know, God didn't bring us into this world to do our own thing. He brought us into this world for a purpose. Once you take hold of the purpose of God for your life, life becomes meaningful. Amen. It becomes worth living. You know, and I believe that God that has started a good thing in your life, he will bring it to completion in Jesus' name. And so that what the enemy thought it meant for it to be evil, God has turned it around and will continue to make it a testimony in Jesus' name. You know, and thank you, Jesus. You know, the church is such a wonderful place to be in and to be involved with. You know, but unfortunately, sometimes people can be involved in a church or with a church and not reap the maximum benefits. And so I want to share a message about how to be blessed in a local church. There's a reason why Jesus Christ instituted the church. There's a reason why God has us come to a place of fellowship after accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. You notice that is the will and the purpose of God. That those who believe in him come together in fellowship. There's a reason. And I pray that you will understand it. Some of you are already running with it, but I pray that all of us will run with it. Amen. By the time all of us begin to run with it, we will see a difference. Amen. Because one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. Glory to the name of Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you again for this great privilege. We thank you because it is because of your name that we are gathered here today. Yes, I thank you for these wonderful brethren here. As a matter of fact, all that I have met this weekend, I would probably never have met except for Jesus. Lord, because of Jesus, I met with him, I fellowshiped with him and enjoyed time with him. And today we have fellowship in your house. We thank you all because of Jesus. And as we look into your word, Lord, I pray that you will open our eyes of understanding. Give us insight into the deep things of the Spirit of God. And help us to walk in the light of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How to be blessed in a local church. Sorry, ma'am, how much time? Okay, thank you. All right, then. Now, let's start off by reading the book of Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And we will read just about 5 verses there. We won't read everything. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 12. The Bible says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." Verse 3. "And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also." So wanting to use the people of God for entertainment, you know, to more or less entertain his people, his followers. Can you imagine that? But God had other plans. So, now it was during the days of unleavened bread, verse 4. "So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover." Verse 5. "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him." Hallelujah. By who? Lord, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. You know, I believe that there have been some unnecessary deaths, both in the church and in our families. Unnecessary deaths. You know, in my book, if you've read everything, I wrote something there about the church. For 26 years, nobody died in our church. God gave me some revelation about protection, how that God's house is a place of protection. And I kept on telling them for years, I said, none of you will die except you are careless with your life. I said, God has brought you under me for protection because the church is a place of protection. That's why the pastor is called the shepherd. So God brings you into a church or into the church to protect you. But last year, after 26 years, 2 people died just 2 days apart in January. You know, I wasn't moved. And thank God, the members of the church, they were not moved. You know why? Because they knew the situations of these 2 people. A man and a woman. This man, for almost 15 to, I kept on telling him that there's something wrong with your life that you need to straighten up. I said, it has to do with your family. He said, no. I've never done anything to anybody. So there's no way that anybody can do me anything. I've never done anything. I said, you don't have to offend the devil for the devil to come after you. And you don't have to offend evil people for evil people to come after you. And especially he was not very committed in the things of God. Even though he had been in the church for years, his wife was very committed though. And that's how things went, and after some time he took ill and, you know, eventually he died. But thank God, before his death, you know, God revealed it to me. I went to, you know, I jumped in the car and was rushing and speeding because I wanted to catch him alive.
Amen.
You know, And I got to the hospital, and the wife was there, and his brother. You know, I started to talk to him and pray with him as we were praying peacefully. That is how he went to be with the Lord. If I had been 5 minutes late, I would have missed him. But thank God he went to be with the Lord. But I call it an unnecessary death. Yes, he was about 60-something, but I mean, he should have lived much longer. The other one was a lady. Her own was even worse. She was a nurse, knew about medical situations and cases. She had indications of breast cancer, and she just kept on dismissing the whole thing. The husband told her, go for medical checkup. Go, let them check this thing out. Let them check this thing out. She refused. Go to the hospital. She refused, even though as a nurse. She kept on for a year until the whole thing hit hard. Before she told the church. And the husband kept on talking to her. She disobeyed the husband. She wouldn't, listen to the husband. Even when the thing became so bad that she couldn't get up, the husband said, look, let me take you to the hospital. She refused. The husband called for ambulance. The ambulance came. She refused to enter the ambulance. But anyway, eventually, they more or less had to, when she was almost helpless, they got her in the ambulance. And after some few months, trying things here and there, she died. I saw it, and members of the church saw it as an unnecessary death. She shouldn't have died. She shouldn't have died. But the church is a place of protection. God has brought you into the church to protect you. If you, conduct yourself well, I tell you, whether you travel, I tell my members, I say, go to the village, wherever village you come from, go. Because whenever they are traveling, and I'm sure you do it here probably, we pray for them. Before you go, go. You know, any witch waiting for you in the village, whatever they do, it's not going to work. You know, those of us that come from Africa. Now, this, we have two cases here. The Bible says the king took hold of James and killed him. I don't know what really happened, whether before the church could realize they had killed him or what, I don't know. But then, after that, the king proceeded to take hold of Peter. And the church said, no, not this time. Not this time. That is the power of the church. Hallelujah. Not this time. The church prayed. And if you read on, Peter was supernaturally delivered because the church prayed. Don't underestimate the prayers of the church. Don't underestimate the power of the church. The church is a place of protection. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So God has brought you into the church. He's brought you into this church to protect you and to shield you from the attacks of the enemy, from death. But you have a part to play. So let's look at the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Very quickly, because of time. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I always tell my people, you are looking for a church. You are looking for the right church. This is how you define the right church. It is called the church of the living God, the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That is the church of God. But then Paul says to Timothy, I am writing these things to you so that you know how to conduct yourself. There is how to behave in the house of God. There is how not to behave in the house of God, for it not to be well with you or for it to be well with you. There's a way to do things in the house of God. There's a way to conduct yourself in the house of God and be blessed. And let me say, over the years, I've said some things. You see, there are three categories of people that if you play ball well, you will really be blessed. But if you mess up, you can come under God's judgment. The first person, of course, is God himself. God is good. God is loving. God is caring. He is merciful. But if you mess with God, and many people are messing with God, one day they will regret it. I pray that God will help you to not get in problem, trouble with him. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a God of love. He can also be a God of judgment. The second category of people is the church. The church is a good place, but you don't want to mess with the church. The church is the house of God. It belongs to God. The church is not a person's personal business. It is the church of the living God. Jesus died for his church. He said he is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When you come against the church, you are coming against Jesus. That is why over the years, for centuries, all manner of wicked kings have tried to shut the church down. Nobody has ever succeeded. Because the church belongs to Jesus. The third category of people are men of God. I'm not saying this because I'm a man of God. I'm saying this because the scriptures teach us so. You know, my pastor back in Nigeria, we had a brother in the church. His name was James Robinson. You know, sounds English, but he wasn't an English person. I was a Nigerian boy. You know, we were in the music team together. He used to play drums, very good drummer. You know, but he was a very rude boy. One day he was so rude, he picked up a quarrel with the pastor. I wasn't there. To the extent that he removed his shirt, wanting to fight the pastor. So other brethren had to hold him and so on. So in anger, so that's how he left the church and went to join another church. Within a few years, he is dead. I will never forget. And the other category, which I don't have time, but which I'll talk is parents. I know when we come to talking to parents, people want to say, well, you don't know how bad my parents are. If I tell you how our parents brought us up, I don't know, my brother Joshua, I don't think he has told it. But it was when we came among the brethren that we knew anything called love. The first time a brother or sister told me, oh, Brother Richard, I love you. I said, what? I know. What? Because we didn't hear those kind of things. It was fighting and everything. Our parents were idol worshippers to begin with. Thank God today, five of us are preachers today. Five. Yeah, Pentecost. I mean, Pastor Joshua is in Manchester here. We have David, who is a pastor with Living Faith. There is another pastor. Our elder brother is 71 years. He's pastoring a church. There is another one again in the village. He's an elder in the church preaching the gospel. Five of us. The Lord is merciful. Now, in primary school in the 70s, in the early 70s, when we were in primary school, don't begin to calculate my age now. You know, so, yeah, so, there was a boy, very intelligent. I want you, please, brethren, to catch hold of scriptural principles that you cannot violate and then, you know, just wish away the consequences. You know, we jump up and make confessions. It is well, we have no weapon formed against which are. But we notice sometimes the weapons prosper. You know why? Because we are not following the dictates of the scriptures. We are not applying scriptural principles. This young boy, and there are some of these principles that are universal. Yes. I don't have time to talk to him. But this man, young boy, very intelligent. In fact, he was the most intelligent. He wasn't in my class. He was about a couple of years ahead of me in the primary school. Finished primary school, top of the class, went to college, finished everything. But you know something? Even in primary school, you know, in those days in primary school, could get some boys who were still maybe, you know, 13, 14, and big for their age. He would fight his father, take his father, throw his father down, sit on him. But what do the scriptures teach? Honor your father and your mother. So that it will what? Be well with you. So that you will live on the earth. Very intelligent. Finished school. Did very well. 1 or 2 years after he finished, he's dead. An intelligent person. I can go on and on and on. I don't have the time. But there are scriptural principles by which we can live and benefit from serving God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And let me say this, no matter how bad your parents are, if your parents knew what you know as a Christian, most likely they would have treated you better than they did. That has been our principle in the family. So we grew up, we never had, you know, held anything against our parents. And thank God they got born again before they died. We said if our parents knew what we know, they wouldn't have treated us the way they did. So that's one aside. But what I want to talk about, you know, what I want to say to us is that God has principles in place. And there is how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. You know, one of the key things is, I will just skip some things, is to honor the men of God that God has put over us in the church. You know, Pastor Dukwe didn't hire me to preach for her. I am not just preaching. I'm preaching the Bible, things that will benefit you. Sometimes when we get to talking like this, people think, "Ah, she hired him to talk." No, these are principles you cannot just overlook. So I am preaching it for it to be good, to well with you. Because God has put somebody in the house here for a reason. And when God puts somebody in a position, regardless of whether or not you can do better, you look better, you can speak better, preach better, more anointed, that is inconsequent. That is not the issue. The issue is that God has put somebody. It is called a particular office or position. Let me say this. In the whole of the United Kingdom, Theresa May not be the best politician. She may not be the most qualified. Maybe others have PhDs or master's degrees in philosophy, in government, in politics. I don't know what her qualifications are. Some of them may be professors of politics or whatever. Some of them may be older than her and they've been politicians for years. Some of them may be more experienced than her as far as politics is concerned. But, you know, none of them holds the office that she holds. So regardless of their qualifications, regardless of their experience, whether they are men, it doesn't matter. Whether they are women, it doesn't matter. You must respect the office of the prime minister. It is called an office. It is not a qualification. It is an office. So in a church, it doesn't matter whether the pastor is a woman or a man. It doesn't matter even if you can preach better. It doesn't matter even if you are supposedly more anointed. The thing is that there is an office that God has put somebody in. And if you recognize that office, it will be well with you. Hallelujah. Yesterday we did talk a little bit. We touched small. I didn't want to talk too much about Aaron and Miriam. Because it came up. Somebody actually brought it up at the retreat. You know what their problem was? They said, has God only spoken through Moses? Hasn't God also spoken through us? Actually, some of it is in my book. So just because you can preach like the pastor, that doesn't mean that you are the same. As a matter of fact, Aaron could speak better than Moses. He was more eloquent. So, they could also hear God. They could speak better. But God said, there is an office that I have placed this man in that you don't stand in. And you must respect that office. I'm saying this so that God will bless you. Glory to the name of Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, we won't have time to read. Jesus went to his village where he had been brought up. And the Bible says he began to teach the word of God there. And they became familiar with him. They became offended. Look at this person. Is it not this person that we know? We know his family. We know his sisters. We know his brothers. The carpenter's son. Where has he got all this knowledge from? And the Bible says they were offended. And the scriptures record, if you read that Mark chapter 6 from verses 1 to 6, says Jesus could not do mighty things in that place. He could only lay his hands and heal a few sick folks. He couldn't do mighty things. And he left and went to other villages. Can you imagine a whole Jesus who had the Spirit of God without limit or without, you know, I mean, he had the Spirit of God in his fullness. He had the anointing to heal and to deliver. But you know something? Their unbelief and their offense limited what they could receive from him. So if you are offended with the person that is ministering to you, if you are too familiar with the person that is ministering to you, the only person that loses out is not the preacher, it is the person. Because Jesus, with all his anointing, he could not. Notice, it doesn't say he will not. It says he could not. So he was actually prevented. Their unbelief stopped him, hindered him from doing great things. It's not that he wasn't willing to do great things. But their unbelief and their offense hindered him from doing great things. We want to recognize the people that God has put over us. Praise the name of Jesus. And God will bless us. So the first thing is to recognize, honor, and obey your spiritual leaders. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's open to that and then maybe also consider opening Hebrews chapter 6. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now let me say this. Please don't misunderstand. This one, we're not just talking about even the senior pastor. There are other leaders in the church. Because here the scriptures say, you know, those that labor among you and those that are over you. Another translation says your spiritual leaders. You know, so those that are, they labor among you. Yesterday we had a retreat, mostly for leaders and workers. There are people laboring among us in the church, helping us do all those things. We came in and there's all these mic stands here and so on. The drums are up and the mics and so on and so forth. When we finish, somebody's going to clean the place, lock up the place. And there are people that labor among us. The ushers are going up and down, making sure that things are okay. They are laboring, doing some things among us. But then there are those over us. So you may be an elder, maybe you are in charge of a department. So in that department, you are over the people in that department. If you are in the music team, I don't know, who is the music director? You, God bless you, my sister. This is the music director here. She submits to the senior pastor, but the people in the music team ought to submit to her because she is their leader there. Who is the head usher? Oh, you don't have, okay, my sister, yeah. Head usher. The people in the ushering department, they submit to her. Now, oh my God, help us here. I think let's read the... Actually, verse 13. It's there in verse 13. And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. It says, for the sake of the work. not because you like them. Not because you come from the same town or the same country. Not because you speak the same language. It says, for the sake of the work. That's it. Simple. What work? The work of God. That is it. You must look beyond the skin, beyond the tribe, beyond the language, and see that this person is doing God's work. For the sake of God's work, I will submit to this person. Because of the work of God that they are doing. Whether they are a woman or they are a man. Whether they are young or old. Over the years of 35 years, I've been under pastors, some about my age, some a bit younger than me. But I've been under pastors older than me also. But I submitted to them. Because even though I was older, or some one of them about the same age, I submitted to them. They were my pastors, my leaders. As a matter of fact, a few of them I could, by the grace of God, teach the word of God better. In fact, the last pastor that I was under before I came to the UK, you know, he was more of a preacher and kind of thing, more a little bit, you know, that kind of preaching where somebody sounds very academic in their preaching. They will probably do a good job at the Bible school, you know, that kind of thing. That kind of Bible school, you know, thing, you know. So it was more of that, really. So, but then some of us would come up and teach the word because we were gifted in teaching. That was our area. But we saw ourselves complimenting him because he was more of a preacher and he was pastoring, but he was a preacher. And then myself and one other brother who was a lawyer, we would teach the word. And somehow he became very uncomfortable. And we noticed that he would even stand in the pulpit and make some statements that we knew. Those statements were directed at us. So I said to my brother, one brother, Ovo, his name, I said, look, let's go and speak to Pastor Emeka. Let's assure him that we are not here, you know, to take over the church or to start a church, because he would make statements. If you want to start a church, you can teach and preach so much. Go and start your own church. We knew it was us he was speaking to indirectly. So we went to him and we said, look, Pastor Emeka, you are the pastor of the church here. We respect you. We are teachers of the world. We do music and things like that. We are here to compliment you. You are the pastor. Nobody knows us at the headquarters of the church. It is you they know. If this church is doing very well, it is your name that will go to the headquarters that your church is doing well. Nobody knows us there. Nobody knows Ovo. Nobody knows Richard. It's you, Pastor Emeka. That's the person they know at the headquarters. That was Church of God Mission in headquarters in Benin. You know, and so we assured him, and so he, you know, kind of relaxed, and you know, so he was okay. So we did our best, and so we said, look, we are not here to start church. We're not here to take over the church. We're not even, God has not called us to start any church. We are just here to compliment whatever you are doing. And the church went on very well up to the time that I left. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, we had to recognize him. Even though, if you want to look from the natural, you know, with all glory to God, Brother Ovo and myself, we were teaching. He was a lawyer. I was working in the bank. So, you know, to look at it, not because of what we're doing, but we had the grace to teach. So he had the grace to preach and to pastor. So we complimented everything he was doing. And the church was doing well. Amen? But we respected him as the pastor. We didn't see ourselves equal to him. We didn't. And we didn't try to usurp his authority. So God says to honor those that are over us in the Lord. Hebrews 13 verse 17. I think I got a few minutes to go. Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, obey those who rule you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Oh, you know I said that the church is a place of protection? They watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief. For that would be actually unprofitable for you. Oh my goodness, this is a deep scripture. Here again, we have the word of the Lord saying to obey. What does it mean to obey? Submit. What does it mean to submit? Agree. Okay, actually, literally, in my own little understanding, to obey and do what they say, tell you. That's it. So if they say, look, we are meeting today at 7 o'clock, you obey. You know? Whatever they say, you obey. Because at the end of the day, you are not going to go to hell because you came to church 7 o'clock because the pastor said so. Is that going to lead you away from God? No. Obey those that are over you. Be submissive to them. It says they watch over your souls. It says that let them, don't give them an occasion to do that with grief. Can you imagine, you know, that the pastor is grieved and they stand in the pulpit to preach from a grieved heart? And the Bible says that that would not be to your benefit. So if the leader is grieved, then the people that they are leading or they are ministering to are the ones that will lose the benefit. Because not much grace or much grace cannot flow from a grieved heart. Grace flows better when the heart is free and at peace. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the one to cause my leader to grieve and minister from a grieved heart. I don't want to be the one. I want to make sure that I cooperate with them, let them minister with a free spirit, with a free heart. Don't give them occasion, you know, to be grieved. Because the Bible says that will not be to our benefit. And because of time, I will leave you to meditate upon that. The other thing I want to say, a couple of things, and I'll be gone, is don't be too familiar with them. Whether you've known them before, you know their past, you know their history, you went to school together, went to college together, that is immaterial. The thing is that God has lifted them and given them an assignment. Respect them, the Bible says, for the sake of the work. For the sake of the work. I said at the retreat that when I first came to the UK, I was under my senior brother, who was the senior pastor of the church. And I respected him not just as my senior brother, but as my pastor. Especially when it was in the church area, you know, when we went home, we could talk our language and joke. And you know Pastor Joshua with his jokes. Some of you who know him, he can joke quite a bit. He can, if I call him now, he'll be laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And we won't be able to preach, you know. So, I mean, whenever he comes around, he will say something. I would better just look away because if our eyes meet, he will suspend the preaching and keep on laughing and laughing and laughing. You know? So, that is that. But I respected him as my pastor. You know, and so when we went home, then we could joke and do some other things as family and so on and so forth, you know. So we must, you know, respect people. For some of you here, maybe your husband is the elder, your wife is the elder. Give them the respect as an elder. You know, you go home, okay, fine, get your respect as a husband, get your respect as a wife, you know. But it's important, you know. We have somebody, you know, sometimes you have elders in the church and in the while they can pray for church members, when he comes home and, you know, the wife is not feeling well and the husband says, let me pray. Say, eh? When did you become a Pastor Dukwe? You pray for me. I beg, call me elder. So. Call me Pastor Dukwe. You know, that is familiarity. The person's an elder, they've been ordained, prayed for in the church. The grace of God is upon that person. Is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Whether the elder is your husband or your wife. The grace of God, the anointing of God is upon the person. Regardless of your wife or your husband or whatever it is, they are an elder. The grace of God is upon them. If you submit to them, God can touch you through them. God can heal you through them. You know, so that the woman of God is relieved. Because where is the relief? If there are elders, The Bible says, "Is any sick among you? Just for his name, call for the elders." Doesn't even say call for the pastor. Call for the elders. The elders, you know, you. Oh Lord, help us here. You got faith. God, the grace of God is upon your life. By faith, pray for the sick. Don't always say, "Well, pastor." And then we have people who psychologically, you know, if they want to be prayed for, it has to be pastor. If not, they don't believe that they'll be healed. Which is wrong. What happens when pastor travels? You know, some years ago, I wasn't too happy at all. My wife and I think we went to Spain, you know. And then somebody came to church and had kind of this demonic manifestation. And somebody was saying, "They should call me. Call me in Spain. We got elders. We got other pastors in the church." No, one pastor said, no, we handle this. And they handled the case and prayed for the person. It is when I came back that they were telling me. Amen. You know, you got faith. You know, exercise your faith. Believe in the person that is praying. The grace of God is upon them. They are a woman, but the grace of God is upon her. He is a man, but the grace of God, you are older than them, but the grace of God is upon her. Hallelujah. Don't be too familiar. Now, let me do this other part. From time, we need to also honor them by blessing them financially, materially, appreciating them. Amen?
Amen.
Just, you know, why don't you put, in my church we make fun, we talk of white envelope, you know. That's an envelope with some good thing, something good inside. You know, and let me say this. It doesn't matter even if the pastor is a multimillionaire. You put some £100, £200 in an envelope, say, "God bless you, ma. Thank you so much, ma." It doesn't matter whether she's got £1 million in the bank. There is a significance about what you are doing. There was a church in America. A woman was there, a member. She was just a member of the church, a multimillionaire, the richest in the church, gave millions and millions and millions to the church. One day she went to the pastor to complain. She said, "Why is it that nobody blesses me with anything? Is it because I'm a millionaire? Don't they know that I will appreciate even $20 from somebody or a card from somebody? Don't they know that I will appreciate that? So just because I'm a millionaire, so nobody shows me anything, appreciation, nobody." You know, there are people running around doing music from time to time, bless them, just or even tell them, "Look, we appreciate what you're doing." Amen? Amen? There are people doing ushering. There are people running up and down, planning things. Why don't they just appreciate them? Thank you card, especially this country, these things work. If it's in Africa, maybe no, but in this country, these thank you cards, empty thank you cards and so on. I think when I came to this country, I found out that people give a lot of empty cards. You know, when we got married, oh God, help us here. Jesus, it's Lord. You know, back in Nigeria, because I was working in the bank, so I knew quite some. If I had married in Nigeria, I would have been just fine. Because I knew people, military people, you know, quite some top people, and so on, you know. And at Ova, I was the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, so I knew quite some people around, you know, and things like that. I came here, we got married in Kensington Temple in London. And after the wedding, we were cards upon cards upon cards upon cards upon cards. We got tired of opening cards. And then cups, teacups and all this. You see, how many teacups do we need? And then at the end, you know how much money we got? £57. All together. I said, if I wedded in Nigeria, there's nowhere that £57. And the two of the £57, £20 was a voucher. Now, this wasn't 1940. No, it wasn't 1940. It was 1995. And, you know, we were in a small studio flat in London. My wife's salary was £480 a month. I wasn't on any salary from the church. Our rent was £375 studio flat. By the time my wife took out the tithe and paid rent £375, nothing. You know, on our wedding, the following day, what is, forget about honeymoon, we just bought Coke and sat in a park in London to drink. That was our honeymoon. But you see, I thank God for my wife, because you understand. My wife, her father was assistant director of the central bank. That again is a miracle, how I married that. Oh, yes. It's a miracle. And on top of it, the father was a Muslim. Al-Haji. He had been to make all these things. But God gave me supernatural favor. You know, she's, I didn't have to do all this prostrating. I didn't have to buy all this. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And that man loved me like his son. When I went to Lagos, I would go to his office on Tinubu Square, that Central Bank, tall building, the Wizard Resort building. He will leave his seat there and we'll sit together. We'll be talking like father and son. The favor of God. But you see, my wife, she understood. And we held on. Before we got married, I told her, I said, I won't promise you money. I don't come from a rich family. I won't promise you anything. I'll only promise you my faithfulness. And by God, we will have whatever God brings our way. And we will not be the same. Today, we have at least a holiday. We can go on holiday. We are going on holiday in August. We have Club Lacoste holiday membership. We go with the family and everything and so on. And God has blessed us a three-bedroom, a semi-detached house where we live, you know, and a small old car to drive. We thank God for that. You know, but my wife never complained. She never complained. Hallelujah. The favor of God. This is what God can do. This is what God can do. Learn to bless people. Bless them financially. Bless them with other things. If God blesses you with some big money, buy a big car and bless the woman of God. Oh, yes. You know, that's one thing. You know, don't just look at the person and say, well, this person has money, so, and God moves your heart to bless. Don't say, well, the person got money. That is not the issue. The issue is a heart of obedience to God, a heart of appreciation, and the Lord will bless you. And cooperate with them. And finally, I don't have much time, look for something to do in the house of God. That's how to be blessed in a local church. Honor those over you. Don't be too familiar with them. Look for ways to bless them. Look for something to do in the house of God. I want somebody that will say, I want to learn the keyboard. Thank God. My goodness, where is that young boy that was playing drums? Is this one? My goodness. I learned other instruments, play keyboard, drums, bass guitar and guitar, but I've never tried to learn drums. But look at this boy. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, how about we get another young boy to learn keyboard? Amen. And somebody to play the bass guitar. You know, and so on. You see, I tell you something. If you have the heart and the passion, God will give you the grace and the ability. Amen. In 1983, I got on my knees. I said, Lord, I went to a friend's house and, you know, he had a guitar. I came back. I said, Lord, I'm lifting these fingers to you in heaven. Touch these fingers. I want to be able to play the guitar and sing in 3 days. Amen. 3 days. Amen. God is my witness. In less than three days, I could play and sing a chorus. Three days. Hallelujah. and I developed myself from there. Later on, learned the keyboard, later on, learned the bass guitar. And I didn't know, because by the time I got a job in the bank, moved out of Jos, the church that was in, a small church, you know, just about this or less, maybe a bit about this, you know, I was the one playing the keyboard. And we had a small choir singing. Learn how to do something for God. There is a need here. Amen. Amen. Where is this other young girl that was playing? God bless you. Amen. You know, my daughters, they are not too old. Some of us married a bit. I was 33 when I got married. So my first daughter is just finishing university next year. The second one is going to be 16 in a few months' time. And so, but they are all doing things in the church. You know, so we decided that my first daughter should go to university from home. She agreed, even though she got some other offers that she needed for her to go out. But we said, we want to go from home. She agreed. And when she agreed and accepted University of East London, guess what? They offered her scholarship, £2,500 every year for the 3 years. And she goes from there, from home, less than an hour she's at the university, and less than 10 minutes she's at the church. Because the church is just 2 stops on the central line from Stratford to Bethnal Green. So she's able to be involved in the church. And she's doing well. In fact, her result now is first class result she's aiming for. Because since she started, she's not got any. The least she's got is 78%. So it's 80-something, 90%. And yet, we told her, put God first, never miss a service. And she they never miss a service. Even if they have exams the following day. And you know something? The greatest joy is that they themselves testified that it is God. We say, go, give God his own time. It is church. Let's go to church. When you come, whatever you are studying, God will bless it. Give God his own, and God will bless your own. We never miss service in our family. Unless you are extremely sick, that such that you can't get to church. I don't have time. I don't want to take your time, but I could have shared more things with you. But I will just stop here. But it pays to serve God. Whatever you're doing for God, it is not in vain. In the church, honor those God has put over you, in your department, in your group, whatever it is, and overall, the woman of God that God has put here. And God will bless you. Look for something, see something that, you know, I want to hear, you know, when I speak to Pastor Dukwe, maybe, I don't know, you know, in the future, I want to hear that somebody is playing keyboard here. Amen. And somebody is playing the bass guitar here. Amen. Maybe, who knows, maybe this brother here. Amen. Why not you? You look like somebody that can play.
Amen.
Yeah?
Aha!
Receive the grace in the name of Jesus. To be an instrument in the house of the Lord, playing instruments to the glory and praise of God. Let these fingers be anointed, blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, some years ago, about 12 years ago, one of my members walked into my office. The boy was 7 years old. He said, Pastor, this my boy says he wants to play football. So I said, okay, fine, you want to play football? Fine. I got up, took anointing oil, and anointed his legs. Not too long after that, Arsenal took him to the academy. He finished the academy, now he's playing for Southampton. There is power in God. You don't know, that's why I don't miss church, because you don't know what God will do in a particular service. Make every effort to be in every service. You don't know what God is going to do. Hallelujah. I'm sorry for taking your time. I'm sorry. Let us pray. Oh my goodness, sorry. So I've taken your time. I apologize. So we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We thank you for the privilege of being saved. And we thank you for bringing us into a church. A church that will feed us the word of God. Nurture us. Watch over our souls. Pray for us. Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for the woman of God. I thank you for the vision you've given her. Thank you, oh God, for the other satellite branches. Thank you for those that are there and looking after your work. I thank you for all the pastors. I thank you for all the elders. I thank you for all the leaders. I thank you for all the workers. And I thank you for all the members. I thank you for all these wonderful children. Oh God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. My brethren, look, the hand of God is upon this ministry. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, brethren, as you work together and do things together, great things are going to happen in this ministry. Great things are going to happen through this ministry. God is going to raise more and more people to do his work, even young people, men, women, to do great things. And God will send you younger people also who will be involved in the work of the ministry. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that your grace will be multiplied upon this church and your power will be made manifest in this church. I pray, God, that the power of God that transforms lives will be made manifest in this church. That as people come to the church and hear the word of God, that their lives will be transformed, changed to be like Jesus and to live for Jesus and to serve Jesus. Oh God, we give you praise, oh God. Father God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for your grace that is upon your servant that you've put in charge of this place. I thank you, Lord God, for the loving heart, for the caring heart. I thank you for the wisdom. I thank you for the passion. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you for those that you've given her to work with her to fulfill the vision that you've given her. Oh God, we thank you. I pray that you will bless every elder, bless every pastor, bless every leader, bless every worker, bless every member, bless every family in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, I thank you for the children. I thank you, Lord God, because you are working in their hearts, oh God. Lord, in a few years' time, these wonderful children, they will be involved in the work of God. Lord, I pray that they will have a heart for the things of God. Thank you for this young boy playing drums. I pray that you will bless him, oh God, that you will raise up more young people. And thank you for this young girl who is singing in the choir. Bless her, oh God, and establish her in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for other people that you are raising up. Oh God, we give you praise. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness, oh God. And we thank you because you've given us principles by which to live in your house so that we will be blessed. And Father, we thank you for those you've put over us. We thank you for those who labor among us. And we thank you for the brethren to fellowship with. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us these people. Lord, indeed, they are a gift to the body of Christ. And so, Father, we recognize them. We thank you for them. We honor them. And we appreciate them. And we pray you continue to bless them, that your grace that is upon them will flow to the rest of the church. In the name of the Lord Jesus, God of heaven, we stand upon your word. Lord, I stand with your servant in this place, joining my faith with her. Even as we've heard the testimony of this brother delivered from death, we stand against the spirit of death. In the name of Jesus, death is a spirit, and we bind you, we break your power, we break your influence over this church, over this ministry. In the name of Jesus, you will not take anybody's life away through carelessness, through sickness, through accident, through tragedy, through any form of terrorist activity. Oh God, I ask for divine protection, supernatural protection, supernatural deliverance upon this church and the membership. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you said in your word that no evil shall befall us. Another translation says no accident shall befall you. I bind every spirit of accident. I bind every form of tragedy in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that your angels will watch over your people in their going out and their coming in. Father God, I thank you. I give you praise, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your faithfulness. I give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Once again, I want to thank you so much for the warm welcome. Thank you so much for the one of the house. God bless you, ma.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.